Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Amen. Church, this morning, if you have your Bible, I want to share with you on the topic of stoke the fire. Add fire. Or keep the fire burning in your life. And I want to start off, because I want to remind you that you do have a purpose in life, a great purpose. You're not just a number or a somebody. But you are special before the Lord. And God is not through with you yet. Did you hear me? God is not through with you yet. And the time that God has given us here on earth, we ought to take advantage and enjoy everything God has in store for us. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, a very familiar scripture, verse 1. No, Jeremiah 1, verse 5, I'm sorry. If you'll go there with me. How many are blessed this morning? Do you guys have it? So this is the way I'm going to start off, and then once I get going, I ain't going to stop. So. But it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I mean, think about that. Before you were formed in the womb, God already knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. He set you apart from all the millions of people, church. God has sanctified you, set you apart from everyone else. I ordain you a prophet to the nations. He's speaking to Jeremiah, just as God is speaking to you this morning. And God has brought you for such a time as this right now. 2025? I believe, and I believe you ought to think this way, that you and I are living in the best time ever. And simply because you're serving God right now. Sometimes I watch these videos where they, and in it, it has a lot of truth. They'll say like the 70s were the best year. The 80s, the 90s, but with God are the best years. If you see, God already knew about Jeremiah. As God knows about you. And even further along in Scripture, you will find another Scripture that you're very familiar with also. The Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. God has thoughts of peace for your life and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. In the Lord, we have a great future and a hope. And just to remind you once again, if you are not satisfied with your life at the moment, maybe you just don't like yourself. You look at yourself in the mirror. Or maybe you base your life on opinions of other people about you. Or maybe the way you grew up, the words that were spoken to you. God chose you. God picked you. And I'm going to remind you again, he set you apart. You ought to be thinking and saying, you know what? I'm special. I'm very special by God. And the reality is that you are unique. But to add to it, God on your side and God chose you, you're special. And when you start thinking in yourself and saying, you know what? God knew me before, even before in my mother's womb. He set me apart. The Bible says that he has good thoughts about me, of peace, and that he's going to give me a future and a hope. But then Psalms 139 Verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, for you formed my inward parts. Look what the psalmist is saying. For you, he's talking to God, formed my inward parts. God created you. You might be short, tall. God formed you. You covered me. Look what he says. You covered me in my mother's womb. And you know what David, the psalmist, he says? He says, I will praise you. I mean, church, you ought to praise God that he chose you, he picked you, and he has good thoughts about you. You have a future, you have hope, you have salvation. He says, I will praise you for I am, look what he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you, and he made you fearfully and wonderfully. Hallelujah. Praise God. And many times in life, we worry about we want to be somebody else. Come on, church. We want to look like somebody else. Well, I want to look like Kim Kardashian. No, God made you wonderfully. I don't want to look like Brad Pitt. No, God made you. I want to look like Luis Miguel. Oh, God made you. I mean, think about it. Man or female, oh man, I don't even want to say it, but I'm going to say it. Just enjoy the way God made you. And let the Lord do some spiritual modifications in you. And even men have no shame. Man. I don't even know if I should say it, but sorry, this. Well, I saw this man and I go, there's no way. He did some modifications in his back. I'll just say that. I'm talking about a man. Don't look at me like if I'm, because it's common nowadays. It's common. Oh, I'm too big. Or I'm too skinny. Or eat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just, God made you. He loves you. He's with you. Amen. But the most important thing, church, is to know that God has a plan for your life. You have a purpose here on earth. And he says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works, and that my soul, look what he says, and that my soul knows very well. See, you yourself, your soul, you got to know very well that that's the way God made you. And he made you with a purpose. He made you that because he wants to use you. And your walk with the Lord, because Jesus, he talks about, in the Gospels, he talks about giving fruit or more fruit as a believer in the Lord, more fruit. In other words, to be productive in life, Not to be, the years go by and, we're the same. There hasn't been no change. The oil hasn't been changed. The spark plugs haven't been changed. Amen? But there's got to be some, we, all of us, productive. That you know that in life, the most productive life in a person, here it is. The ages are 60 and 70 age. It's when you're most productive. The young years, teenagers, that's when you're strong. And that's when you should serve God with everything or whatever, you're going to do in life. Why? Because you're young and you're strong. But that's a whole different story. But I'm talking about that later on in years. When you look outside of the church, people that started big businesses or they have done great things, ages 60 and 70. Colonel Sanders, KFC. I think he was in his 70s. And sometimes we think, that's why I said all these scriptures, we think, you know what? I'm at this age, I'm no good. Or what is life all about? What am I going to do now? And the reason it's ages 60, 70 is because they have one thing, and that's vision. They have a vision for their life. So think about it, young people, middle people. Imagine if you have a vision, or you know the plan of God, you know where you want to be. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. Imagine when you hit 60, 70. Be very productive. Very, very productive. That's the number one, age. Number two, age is 70, 80. And there's I was listening to, who's the one that was talking about this? And later, all the colors, every color has a meaning in life. All the colors have a meaning in life. And they were talking about, I was telling Angel about this. They were talking about that in life, you got to know the seasons. Seasons. Like summer, nobody likes summer. But there's a reason why there's a summer. Then you have winter. Then you have all these seasons. In life, that's the way it is. There's different seasons. And there's times that there's times of where you wait a season. And that doesn't mean that God's not with you or nothing's happening. It's just a matter of time. Thirdly is the ages 50 and 60. And, you know, in the Bible, this is like what's practiced here in the Western, in the Bible, and this is because even the Jewish people say, you will not find the word retirement. Hello. Yeah, you might retire, but that doesn't mean you're going to stay inactive. Amen. You're going to get the paycheck. Praise God. Retirement, Social Security, and all that good stuff. But it's about what? It's about being active. Someone said, as long as your vision is impaired, you're not going anywhere. In other words, if your vision in life is defective, you're not going to go nowhere. They say it's the same in life. You've heard me say this before. The average person who retires dies within 3 years. And they say that it's in men. Why? Because you don't have a vision. You don't know what to do after retirement. Have you ever heard people that physically in person they retired, and many of them within a year? That's why get a vision. Praise the Lord. You're 75. Praise God. You want a date? No, I'm just playing. It happens. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But why do they die within 3 years? Why? Because they have no vision. They're just existing. And time is the most valuable thing that we have, church, is time. Time. I want you to see this. Even Paul spoke about it in the Bible in the New Testament. I'll read the scripture right now. But even in business, in the real world, outside of the church, what's the one thing they talk about? Time. Time. I'm listening to this one man on audio, and he talks about how to buy back your time. Because that is the most important thing, church, hear me. As a pastor, and he's a businessman, he's talking about business. As a business, time is the most important thing. But what happens is that everything, life gets all cluttered up. Or we want to do everything. We get too busy. We do so much. We don't have the time. But see, in life, or like in a business, or like in a church, we need what? We need structure. We need a system where everything is flowing, everything is moving in the right way. And this man, he says, you know, a businessman, he says, this is what you do, he says. He's talking about time, buying back your time. You come to the point where you want the business to function correctly by itself because you have systems in place, but not with the purpose, he says, not with the purpose to produce more money, to make more money, which that will happen automatically, but it's about your life, where you don't burn out. Hear me, church, this is very important. Where you don't burn out. Because the time, if you burn out, guess what? You're going to get sick. You're not going to be able no more. You're going to want to throw the towel. You're going to want to sell the business. Why? Because you can't no more. It's too much. And in life, it's the same thing, church. If you don't have structure, you don't have a system, if you don't have things in place, guess what? You're going to burn out. And that's the reason why a lot of people, you know, throw the towel, or they sell the business, or they quit. Even in ministry, what do? They quit the ministry. Because ministry is not easy, church. Ministry, you know why ministry can get hard? It's because it's dealing with people. People get out of hand. Talk to me. Don't stay quiet on me now. I'm giving you nuggets, church. I'm giving you some spiritual advice and life. That's the only reason. It's the people. So, what is the average life in the United States? You know what they said? 78.6 years. Average. I'm not saying you're going to, oh, I'm 77, I got 1 year left. I'm just saying that it's average. And I'm sure there's a lot of reason why. But that's a whole different message. But 78.6 is the average lifespan here in the United States. And you know what people do in life most of the time? We're talking about what? Time. Number one, they spend 28.3 years of just sleeping. Number two, 10.5 years of working. Nine years just watching TV or playing video games or on social media. Imagine 9 years if you went, or you say, you know what, for 9 years I'm going to educate myself in this, or 9 years I'm going to do this. But you use that time for what? TV. Social media. Games. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, church, if you use it for the correct thing. For the correct thing. What else? What's on my toolbox? 6 years of doing homeworks. 4 years of just eating. And we're talking about 4 years straight. Eating and drinking. 3.5 years of education. 2.5 years preparations. 2.5 years of buying stuff. 1.5 years of taking care of kids, and the list goes on. And after all that, church, after all that, you only have 9 years to live your life of your dreams. Have you ever thought about it? Like if you, right now, you sit on, you say, you know what, how many, I was shocked because I never thought about it. How many Christmas do you have left? I heard this one man say, you know what? If you're so-and-so, you only have, I think he said, I don't know how. I go, man, that's a little bit. He thinks that you have like 5 or 10 Christmas lifts, and that's it. Look what the Bible says. Go with me, Ephesians 5:16, quickly. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Glory. Ephesians 5:16, the Bible says, see that you walk circumspectly. And then he says, not as fools. Church, don't walk as fools, but as wise. Then he says, redeeming the time. And there it is. Why? Why? Why redeem the times? Why walk as wise? Because the days are what? Evil. Evil don't respect you. If you don't do nothing with your life, your walk with the Lord, the days are evil. And you already know, I don't have to tell you. I mean, even life itself, church, without God, how much more in the Lord? It's a double whammy. Because before the Lord, we just did things all randomly. We didn't care about the consequences as much as we do now. No fear of the Lord. But now in the Lord, we have fear of the Lord. Now we know what we ought to do, because we got the best manual in the world. We got the Bible. We got the Word of God. In other words, there's no excuse. But to top it off, here's a double whammy. We have an enemy. And he don't like it for you to live the blessed life or to follow God, to do the will of God. He don't want that. Even when Jesus died on the cross, Satan thought, this is it. I won. It's over. But praise God that he rose from the dead and he conquered him on the cross. Hallelujah. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Go with me to Exodus quickly, chapter 3. We'll talk about Moses real quick. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Now, you already know this. You know, Moses, he's tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He's probably cutting the grass for him and but he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And notice that in verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in what? In a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. There was what? A flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now, I'm going to say this, church. The fire always comes from the Lord. Did you hear me? The fire always comes from the Lord. Once the fire of the Lord is burning in you, church, ain't nobody going to stop you. Everything I said in the beginning of this message, how God picked you, how he wonderfully and fearfully made you, that you have a hope, the average time we have here on earth, the fire is from the Lord. You got to be set on fire, church, to what God has gifted you to do. Don't matter the age. Oh, I'm too young. No. God gifted you. God gave you that skill. God gave you that grace. But here, the Bible, Moses, he's just right there helping out his father-in-law. But the Bible says that there was a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and he behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, look what Moses says, I will now turn aside and see the great sight. Why the bush does not burn? There was a flame of fire. How many know that when the flame of fire is on, ain't nothing's going to burn? Nothing. So when the Lord saw, like God sees everything. The Lord saw that he turned aside to look. God knew how to get Moses' attention. God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Notice he tells him two times. Because he wants his attention. Church, did you know that God wants your attention? Do you know that's the reason why he's been calling you by your name? He's calling you by your name twice or more. Come on, church. The flame of fire is there. He's calling you by your name. What are you waiting for? You cannot, hear me, church, here. You cannot serve two masters. Some of you are fighting two masters. Some of you, you want Jesus, you want God, but you also want the other side. You want the other side. The other side that is just, oh, Lord, have making you feel good. Oh, you still got it. You're still young. No, church, you can't hear two. You got to hear one voice. One voice. When you get to a time, church, where you're saying, you know what? I still got it. Be careful. I said, be careful. I still could do this to me. I still could do that. Be careful. Church, you can't serve two masters. And stop trying to please man. Stop trying to impress people. Come on, church. I know what I'm talking about. Just because you want others to think well about you? No, church. Please God. Please Jesus. And be satisfied and blessed with what God has given you. You know, here's the thing what I've seen, Lord, with people, you know, is that people that are fully committed to the Lord, they're going to want to please God. But then you got the other camp. They want God because they know that God is the only one that's going to help them, strengthen them. Feel good Sunday morning message. But then after 24 hours, it's like we forgot about the message. I'm preaching now. No. Listen, church, that God is calling you. And listen that God is working in you. I said, God is working with you. It's just because you're going through a trial
or maybe you're not where you want to be yet, that doesn't mean that God has forgotten you. That doesn't mean that, you know, God is done with you. No, church. No, 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 no. That is a time that God wants to spend more time with you. Because he wants you. He don't want nobody else. He wants you. Why? You know why? Because he picked you. He chose you. You. Don't worry about him or her. Let me tell you something. Let me give you some advice. God can handle him or her. Guess what? In his terms. I said God's terms, not your term. God's term. God will take care of that. But God wants you because he picked you. He picked you before your mother's womb. He chose you. He has a plan for you. And Moses, he did the right thing. He said, here I am. But God told them, do not draw near this place. Look what he tells them. See, God always gives conditions, church. I said God always gives conditions. He says, take your sandals off your feet. For this place where you stand is holy. Hallelujah. Some of you got to take off your sandals. It's a holy place, church. I said, God's, anything that has to do with God, it's holy. I remember my first pastor, Pastor Carrillo, he said this. The reason why I believe he says that God told him to take off his sandals because with those sandals are the ones he killed the Egyptian. And some of you, you don't want to take off those sandals. You still want to walk your way, your own steps, when God wants to order your steps. And see, God is never going to do anything with you, church, until you remove those sandals. Come on, remove them flip-flops. Some of you got size 18. Take them off. Some of you are tripping over with those sandals. You're tripping over with those sandals. They're roadblocks to your life. Take them off. Remove them. As a matter of fact, some of them sandals are so old and ugly. You still use them and go to the soul in the morning. But what did Moses do? Look at the Bible. I'm gonna be finished already. Don't worry. Chill. Take a chill pill. Where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. But here it is. God wanted to use Moses. He picked Moses for such a time, that time. And how do I know? Because he says, the Lord says, for I have surely seen. Look what he says, church. I want you to, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. Now, let me tell you this now. God has surely seen the need. Yearning. I want you to see this, church, right now, wherever you are, the state that you are in your walk with God, or the situation, the biggest challenge that you might think you're facing, think about this. God sees it. He sees. And he knows. It could be your pain. It could be their pain. But God sees it. But see, this is what I'm trying to get to you, church. You want victory? You want results? Obey God. He wants you. He wants you. And as I've always said, God ain't going to change. He wants to change you. And Moses, so God tells him, I've seen the affliction of the Israel, how the Egyptians treat them, and all of this stuff. And Moses tells God, who am I, he says. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Because God told Moses, Moses, look, you're going to go to Pharaoh. I'm going to use you. And see, some of you, you're still asking, who am I? You know, I just told you in the beginning, church, you are special. You're peculiar. God picked you. God chose you. See, here what comes in, church. Don't stop praying and believing God. Don't stop praying. Don't stop, you know, if God tells you, hey, pray and fast, obey. Obey God's orders, church. And God told Moses. And Moses tells him, who am I? But here's the thing, though, church. It had nothing to do with Moses. Moses was just a vessel, an instrument that God was going to use. But the one that was going to take care of business is God. Church, God is going to take care of all of your business. All of your business. God's going to fix everything. He's going to fix everything. Every detail. And God, when Moses says, who am I to tell Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, I will certainly, here it is, church. God tells Moses, I will certainly be with you. God is certainly will be with you, church. And he has been with you. And God used fire in a bush, church, to get his attention. Now, next week, it's going to get more intense because how he saw the fire. The fire, church, anytime in the Bible, just read, the fire comes from above, comes from God. There's a reason why he showed him fire in that bush, and that bush would not, it was still going. What does that tell? Because it was a fire of God. Anything that's of God will never be consumed, church, will never be finished. Nothing. Nothing. And next week, I'm going to share with you how to maintain the fire. I'm going to give you one tip just to keep you. You know what they would do? Every day in the morning, they had to put wood. I said every day. Not, I feel like it today, not to, no. Every day. Every day, church. Every day. And God, you can't pick and choose. If you want results. And God used that fire to get Moses' attention. And God's going to put some fire on you, church, to get your attention. And you know why I think it's he does it? Because it comes from him. Because he wants you to know. He wants you to know, church. It's not the arm of the flesh of man. That the one that does everything is God himself. That your help, remember the Psalms? He says, the psalmist, he says, where does my help come from? He says, my help comes from Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He wants you to know that your help is going to come from above. Not from man. From God. And that's when he got his attention.
And as Moses was getting closer and closer, God says, okay, stop right there. Don't come in near, he says. Take off your sandals. Because this place is holy. Hear me, church, hear me. Once you get it, once you're in that rhythm and that flow, nothing's going to stop you, church. Nothing's going to stop you. Please stand this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.